Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Richard DeKayser is back with us. Richard is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. And this is a week to be talking about banks, isn't it? They're important to me. They're important to you. My bank is important to me. Ladies and gentlemen, your bank is important to you. And there's a lot of information and, unfortunately, a lot of disinformation and misinformation and myths and rumors and other scurrilous things going on that I think it's appropriate that we spend a little time talking about this. And Richard's going to help us with that. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Where to start? IndyMac failed this week. IndyMac, tell us what IndyMac is.
Sure. IndyMac was a California-based thrift institution that specialized in mortgage lending, and more specifically specialized in what is lending called Alt-A, meaning alternative A-rated. And the alternative comes from the fact that they were missing documentation, poorly documented or undocumented. So, for example,
they're the poster child for what's wrong with the housing industry.
Bingo. In the mortgage industry. Report, you know, if they ask me what my income is, I write down $10 million, and that's good enough for them. So that's been the epicenter of mortgage problems in our country, and that's where their woes really came from.
Yesterday, I talked about this in the previous segment. Yesterday on Fox, one of the Fox channels, I heard a young lady who, in my opinion, doesn't know a bank from a bulldozer. I said that earlier, too, interviewing Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I think he doesn't know what he's talking about either. And he was asking him, like he's some kind of a bank expert, what should we be afraid about our money in our banks? And he said, well, I think anybody who saves money is crazy, because they ought to be putting their money in gold and silver and blah, blah, blah. And so from all of that, she summarized his comments by saying, he did say, I think if you put your money in the big banks, you know, some of the large banks, you'd be okay. And then she extrapolated from that, so you shouldn't put your money in regional and small banks. And then they moved on to something else.
Yeah.
And I said that is a horrible, horrible thing that just happened, because it couldn't be further from the truth. It was misleading as it could be, and they should have had somebody on there who would have said, if I had been on there, I would have said, wait a minute, if you're worried about a bank that you got money in, if you're not in South Florida, if you're not in California, if you're not in Phoenix or especially Las Vegas, and your bank didn't make a bunch of ill-advised construction loans, then your bank is fine.
Well, I would go even one step further. Even if you did have your money in the most notorious and poorly managed of banks, even in that extreme situation, as long as you're account value is under $100,000, you're fully backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government.
Yep.
So even under those most extreme of circumstances, people will be made whole. So there's a lot of I think the fear and loathing has reached a peak, which we do see periodically. We've been there in the early 1990s. It's been a long time, but 91, 92 was a comparable moment. On that occasion, it was not lending to home buyers so much as it was lending to real estate developers, commercial real estate developers.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a similar situation back in the middle of the 1980s when the crisis surrounded lending to less developed countries. Now, it's understandable. I mean, the financial system is the linchpin of our economy. It's vital to the success, the intermediation of credit, getting money from where it is to where it can be productively put to use. But tempers tend to run kind of high, and that's what some of the policy actions most recently taken. Just yesterday, the Security and Exchange Commission passed a regulation which is now going to prohibit a kind of short selling, which basically means betting on stock prices falling.
Right. And not only betting on it, but also
rumor mongering,
circulating rumors that contribute to your investment.
Well, yeah, and the motivation for that is that there is a strong belief that played a big role in the collapse of Bear Stearns back in March, and is today playing a major role in the weakness of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So
and a couple of others. There are a couple of other investment banks that are running in the same kind of thing. What we have had, folks, we've always prided ourselves in the United States having the most well-developed, the strongest, and most mature financial institutions in the world. And some of that's being called into question right now. We've got to work through this. And somebody who's going to help us sort all this out is our good friend Richard DeKayser. He's going to stay with us. We'll be back right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Little Rascals music bringing us back there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. Richard DeKayser is our guest. By the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things that we do, the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust and the newsletter and the blog and then on and on and on and on. Lots of stuff. If you're a small business owner or want to be, you'll find something there that will help you get through the day, the year, and maybe even the whole career of your small business. And then, of course, don't forget our knowledge base where you get small business answers right now. And that's at askjim.biz. So check those out. Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. Richard, you and I have talked a lot about a lot of different things over the years. One of the things that we've talked about in the past was some of the things that National City was up to. National City has been a little bit in the news lately because your bank has been one of the banks that's been having it tough because of the mortgage industry and the construction industry going down.
Well, that's absolutely true, and the big event that afflicted our institution in particular is that we pretty much were in the business of making mortgages and most significantly buying them from smaller companies,
right?
And then selling them to investment banks on Wall Street that would repackage them and sell them to all over the world, Asia, Europe, and so forth.
Right.
With a unprecedented suddenness in the month of August last year, investors just fled that market entirely. So anything but the plainest, most conventional, ordinary, government-sponsored enterprise-backed mortgages, the investor interest completely collapsed. So we ended up carrying a lot of those mortgages, which we ordinarily would have rolled over.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not performing well, and that's been National City's story. Now, fortunately, the investment community stepped up about 2 months ago and gave us an enormous $7 billion.
That's a pretty big vote of confidence right there.
Well, it is. So we're simultaneously in this position where we're stuck with a bunch of mortgages that are going to be extremely problematic over the course of the next 1 to 2 years, but having accumulated this enormous cushion, which will provide, even in the most downside scenario, enough protection to get through the storm.
Mm-hmm. So the rumors of National City's demise are exaggerated. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, they're hugely exaggerated to the extent they exist, but I would even go so further to say that I don't think rumors are very prevalent. I mean,
to be honest, the only reason I say that is I have heard that the name National City mentioned in banks that were having difficulty because of what you said. They were examples. They were examples of banks who had that business model, and it's not that you weren't functioning. You didn't have a good business model. It's just that you were operating along a certain practice, and that practice kind of became ill, and you guys got caught a little bit holding the bag.
Well, absolutely. And to be fair, I mean, there were flaws in the business model. I mean, to assume that there are going to be people to constantly buy that which you produce is imperfect. Now,
but it's not reasonable though to compare what happened to you guys to with what happened to IndyMac. It's two different things altogether.
Not even remotely. And to be to be blunt, if you look at what's happening throughout the universe of banks, there's a broad brush that's sort of tarring a whole range, which I'll call regional banks. And again, it's sort of this contagion type reaction where people are saying, "Oh my God, a regional bank there in IndyMac went down. Therefore, regional banks broadly are exposed to the same risks, and therefore fear has been mounting."
One of the things, though. As my audience knows, I don't give investment advice on this show. I'm not smart enough. But I do know that with regard to housing that's available out there now, with regard to bank stocks of certain banks, with regard to a lot of different things, a lot of different investment opportunities, there are going to be some people who are going to literally get rich over the next 2 to 3 years by buying right now.
Well, no doubt, and one of my favorite quotes is from the famous investor Warren Buffett, who said it's always prudent to be fearful when others are greedy, and to be greedy when others are fearful.
Right.
That is to say, be a contrarian. And the worst time to buy tech stocks was when everyone was loading up. The worst time to buy real estate everyone believed that was a surefire way to make money. And the converse applies. In the current environment, there are a lot of opportunities.
The only thing I'd regret right now is that I don't have more money to invest in some of these opportunities. You know, I've been looking at some stocks recently, and it's amazing how many stocks had their highs in the fourth quarter of 2007. And yet many of them are down significantly now, and you know, something didn't happen to all those industries to make there weren't bad things that were in all those industries to make everybody's stock go down, you know, almost simultaneously about 6 months ago.
Right. In fact, you know, if you look at broad stock measures like the S&P 500, the Wilshire 5000, they hit their all-time records last October. So less than a year ago, optimism was running high. Of course, we're in a different place now. We're at a new low since 2003, at least. Mm-hmm. And you're right. What has fundamentally changed? Well, what's fundamentally changed is confidence in the financial system and fear of contagion. That is to say, money just ain't going to be available for doing the important things that businesses need to do.
But this is going to heal, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And again, if you look back historically, we've been here before. You can recount over and over again the times that we've been through this moment, and we always come back.
My worry, though, is that the government is going to stick its head in too far and create something that's a Sarbanes-Oxley type thing. And I've been worried about this for months and months, a banking Sarbanes-Oxley that would not be good for the marketplace. Quick break, 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. That's Robert Cray bringing us back. 7 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Richard DeKayser, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. That's nationalcity.com, right, Richard?
That is correct.
And how many branches? 1,300?
Well, 1,200 less, and I'm rounding off, but it could be as high as 1,300. Yeah, we've done a lot of expansion. We used to be typically a Midwestern bank, and still are, but we've expanded out to, Missouri and Wisconsin and the Southeast. So no longer quite as pigeonholed as we once were.
Right. So check that out, nationalcity.com. Richard, what do you take a look at your economy crystal ball and tell us what you see coming up. Wasn't it interesting that all it took was for the president to get up on his hind legs about offshore drilling and oil went down $7? Is there any doubt in anybody's mind anymore, Richard, that a whole lot of $145 a barrel oil is speculation?
You know, there's a huge range of opinion on this. Just yesterday, Fed Chairman Bernanke had testified before Congress, and when asked that question, he said he believes that today's prices largely reflect fundamentals, that is to say, supply and demand. He conceded
I don't believe that.
He conceded that investment interests may be contributing to it somewhat, and he was noncommittal there. Most people believe, as I do, that there is a tremendous amount, and I don't want to just call it speculative in the sense that evildoers are out there.
No, I'm not saying speculation is a bad thing. I just think
it's there. It's there. There's no doubt that it's there. If you look at the volumes of transactions on futures markets by people who never, ever, ever will take delivery of a single barrel of oil.
Right, right.
They are extraordinarily elevated. So that simply tells me that there's a huge level of interest as a financial asset, that is to say, and as an asset class, commodities have really come into their own over the past 3 years. And to some extent, that is contributing to price increases.
I'm going to make a prediction, Richard.
Okay.
If somehow the Congress get some wits about it, and you and I, people like you and me, put pressure on them. Regular voters put pressure on our members of Congress to sign the lifting of the offshore drilling ban. That next day, oil will drop down to near $100 a barrel.
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, there's a whole range of options, offshore drilling being one, but development of nuclear energy and, frankly, conservation.
We've got to do a lot of everything, don't we?
Right, right. And it's all, you know, this is one thing that's beautiful about markets is they tend to work. And, consumer spending on energy over the past 2 years in America is down about 5%. That is equally true, more or less, to the entire developed world, that is to say everywhere that prices have gone up. It's been a little bit less in emerging markets because, to a large extent, those populations have been insulated through government action from price increases, but that's changing now, too. So, you know, everything that we all talk about and do on a day-to-day basis matters, and when people start to conserve, that means that demand declines, and that'll help bring prices down in time.
Absolutely. Look at the economy out for the rest of 2008. What do you think about it?
Well, actually, I've gotten pessimistic. As you know, I've been optimistic for the past year, and that's been borne out. The first half of this year is looking much, much better. If you go back to January, everyone was predicting the majority, at least, was predicting a recession.
Except for you and me.
Well, okay, and maybe a few others, but we have first quarter GDP was up 1%. The second quarter, which we have not yet got official tallies on, but will in a couple weeks, looks to me like it's going to be closer to 3.
Wow.
So the first half of the year did not have a recession, and on the contrary, expansion was far better than many had feared. Now, you're asking about the second half of the year, and here's where my opinion has changed. I still don't see significant declines, but it's been the surprise in energy prices, really, that's darkened my outlook. I did not see 140 or 130 or, for that matter, 120 or even $100 barrel oil, and that has transpired. And even though I don't expect it to last, at the moment it's presenting a huge burden on consumers. Now, we've offset that with these
refund checks. Businesses.
And small businesses, no doubt. Businesses of all sizes. Except, of course, for those who are sitting on top of reservoirs of oil.
Mm-hmm.
That aside, this is presenting...
Do you think we're going to have a recession? You think we're likely to go into a recession second half?
No, I don't. I still think the best description for what we're headed to is what economists call a growth recession. And, in fact, we're in a growth recession. That means the economy continues to expand, but not fast enough to absorb all the new people who are out looking for jobs. So you have this combination of slow growth, rising unemployment. Forgive me for being technical, but that's not a recession. It feels like it to a lot of people.
That's the deal. It feels like it, isn't it?
Well,
that's the main thing. Yeah. Hey, Richard, thank you for being here. Good job today,
as always. Jim. Thank you.
We'll get you back in real soon. Thanks a lot. Richard DeCaser, ladies and gentlemen. Always enjoy having him on the show. Always enjoy his perspectives. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe. But that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.